Now read first of all in the Psalms, Psalm 19, and read from verse 7. The law of Jehovah is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of Jehovah is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of Jehovah are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of Jehovah is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of Jehovah is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of Jehovah are truth. They are righteous altogether. They are more precious than gold, yea, than much fine gold, and sweeter than honey and the dropping of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant enlightened. In keeping them, there is great reward. And then in the New Testament, in the First Epistle to Peter, First Epistle to Peter and chapter 2, and verse 6, because it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believes on him shall not be put to shame. And then just over the previous page, chapter 1, verse 18, knowing that ye have been redeemed, not by corruptible things as silver or gold, from your vain conversation handed down from your fathers, but by precious blood, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, the blood of Christ. I wanted to speak of what was precious. You might all have your own ideas as to what's precious to you. You might think your phone is precious, or an engagement ring, or a wedding ring, or your relationship with your wife, or your parents, or your children, or your home, or your car. People have different ideas of what's precious. Something that's precious is something of great value, not to be wasted or to be taken lightly. And I wanted to speak of something more precious than all those things. Or at least I hope it is to you. Dear friends, you will notice that each of the scriptures I read referred to what was precious. It's important that we find out what's precious to God, what is pleasing to him, what he values. You must first believe, of course, that God is. God is your creator, the one in whose very breath, hand your breath is. He's one who's long-suffering. He doesn't want you to perish, because you're precious in his sight. He wants you to be blessed. What is precious to God? Where I read in Epistle of Peter in chapter 2, behold, God speaking, behold, I lay in Zion a cornerstone, elect, precious. That's referring to Jesus. God could take account of Jesus when he was here, and there was a man who did all his will. And that's what's precious to God. Someone who does his will. Someone who loves him and cares about what he thinks. And if I was to go around the room tonight and ask you what's the most precious thing you have or in your life, would you tell me that Jesus was the most precious thing in your life? Or would you think of some of those other material things? They may be important, they may be valuable, but what is precious in God's sight is Jesus and the work that he's done. And I want to bring you to the Lord Jesus tonight, that you might understand the love that he has for you, and that what he's done for you, and that he might become the most precious thing in your sight. The apostle speaks about gold and silver and precious stones and things which would be burnt up. All those things, material things, will pass away. But what have you got that's going to last into eternity? If you have Jesus, you will have something that will last for eternity. Jesus says, my words will in no wise pass away. Wouldn't it be wonderful to have something that's never going to pass away? Something that's never going to fade. And if you come to Jesus, you'll realise what I'm talking about. He did all God's will. And God could take account of it, and the voice out of heaven could say, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I have found my delight." And tonight, I want to point you to Jesus, this cornerstone, elect, precious. If you try building your life without Jesus, it's like the man who built upon the sand. When the storm came, it was washed away because it had no foundation. But if you build your life upon your link with Jesus and what he has done, then it's like the man building it upon the rock, building a house on the rock. It can stand firm when the storms came. And God says, "I lay in Zion a cornerstone, elect, precious." God's valuation of Jesus and all that he has done. When the Lord Jesus did his will, he went about healing, curing the blind, giving the blind sight, curing lepers, raising the dead, feeding the 5,000, stilling the winds and the waves. All these things Jesus did. But what pleased God was that he continued all the way to the cross. And it's there that you will learn God's heart of love. There, when men did their worst, they said, "Away with him, we will not have him to reign over us. Crucify him, crucify him." They didn't think Jesus was precious. They thought they could dispense with him. That they had no need of him. Or he'd just been a servant or a prophet and they didn't need to listen to his words. "Away with him, we'll not have him to reign over us." What is your view of Jesus? Is he precious to you? Jesus allowed them to take him and to nail him to that cross, there between the two robbers. That was those men's assessment. Jesus was not fit to live. He should be condemned and put on a cross between robbers. One of the robbers could say, "We indeed justly." He recognised that he deserved nothing better. But this man has done nothing amiss. How precious in God's sight. There was one who had done nothing amiss. There was one who was holy and sinless. One that was wholly pleasing to God. But he remained there upon the cross that you and I might go free. He bore that judgment in those hours of darkness. When no one could penetrate the darkness, they couldn't see what transpired. How Jesus bore that judgment in his body on the tree. Why? That you might go free. You couldn't pay the penalty for your sins. I could do nothing myself, nor could anyone here, nor could any of your friends or your family. They could do nothing about your sins. But Jesus could, and he remained there upon the cross that he might deal with that whole sin question and your sins. That God might have a righteous basis to forgive you your sins. That you might be set free from the power of Satan and death and demon. That you might be made fit for his presence. God had a righteous basis because of what Jesus has done on the cross. He remained there and he bore that judgment and he exhausted it. And he could say, "It is finished." Nothing to be added to that work. Precious, finished work of Jesus. Oh, if everyone here could see that Jesus dealt with their sins there at that on the cross, that you might go free. There was one who was precious, and he remained there upon the cross. Oh, that you might learn to value what he did for you there upon the cross. You might realise the great cost. Jesus recoiled from that going to the cross. It says his sweat was as great drops of blood. It says, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, but not my will, but thine be done. Jesus went to the cross, and he went there for you, dear friend. And the soldier came to see if he was dead, and pierced his side, and out came the blood and the water. Precious blood. Peter was writing to those who trusted Jesus, and he says, ye have been redeemed. Have you been redeemed? Are you still in the power of the enemy? Are you still in your sins? If you are, what you need is the precious blood. What blood? The blood of Jesus, which the Apostle John tells us cleanses us from every sin. No need to worry that something might still remain. If you're trusting in the blood of Jesus, your sins are gone. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Wonderful that God has the means to forgive you your sins. And the basis for that is the work of Jesus there upon the cross. He completed the work, and he could say, it is finished. Redeemed by precious blood, not by these other things which will pass away, corruptible things, even silver and gold, which men value because gold doesn't deteriorate. But the apostle is pointing out that this Jesus, the one that he spent 3.5 years with, this one he even denied at the cross, before the cross, he accepted that Jesus was the one for him. His precious blood, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, the blood of Christ. John could bear witness that he saw the blood and the water flow forth. That same precious blood can cleanse you, dear friends, from every sin. Is the name of Jesus precious to you? Or is it just another name from history? You can read some of the historians of the day, and they record that there was a man called Jesus. But what does God have to say about him? God says the blood of Jesus is precious. Says the name of Jesus is precious. And as a cornerstone elect, he was precious. God would commend his love to you. He has commended his love to you in that while we were still sinners, says Christ died for the ungodly. A wonderful thing to know what's precious to God, and that the same thing should be precious to you, the same one. His name is Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Where I read in the Psalms, spoke about the precepts of Jehovah, how they're more precious than gold. He can restore you. As I said, though your sins be as scarlet, they can be as white as snow. If you trust God, trust his Son, then no one says, if God be for us, who against us? God is the judge, and if he acquits you, then you have nothing to worry about. It says, their sins and iniquities I will never remember any more. And the word in the Bible tells us that if we trust Jesus, we're safe for time and for eternity. The testimony of Jehovah is sure. It says, making the wise simple. You don't need to be clever, a very high IQ or a past degree or whatever, pass lots of exams. You just need to grasp the fact that God is presenting Jesus as a saviour, and that Jesus has done all the work, and that if you trust in him, his righteousness is accredited to you. And God will says, their sins and iniquities I will never remember any more. How simple is that? You haven't got to go out and do anything. You're not. All you're asked to do is to come to Jesus in repentance and put your faith and trust in him. Acknowledge that you're a sinner and that you need a saviour. Cry to him. Don't have to go anywhere to do it. You can cry to him from your seat. Lord, save. One man said, I find it difficult to believe. He says, I believe, Lord, help thou mine unbelief. If you're not sure, if you're in doubt still about God's heart of love towards you, if you're in doubt as to what's precious to him, then cry to him that he might make it clear to you. Making wise the simple. If you think that to do it in your own strength or your own ideas, you'll come unstuck, because you'll miss the simple truth that God is providing a saviour for you in Jesus. In coming to him in repentance, you're acknowledging that the precepts of Jehovah are right, and it'll set you free, because it says, if the Son shall set you free, you shall be really free. The commandment of Jehovah is pure, enlightening. The scales will fall from your eyes once you see that all the blessing is founded in Jesus, that precious one, that elect one, that cornerstone, one whose precious blood was shed. And acknowledge that God is right. These things are more precious than anything in this world. Anything you might acquire in this world, it's as nothing compared with what God has to offer and what is precious to him. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Wonderful blessing available to each and every one here. But the one criteria is to value what's precious to God, becomes precious to you. Been debating the paper this week as to who the richest man in the world is. It won't help you, even if you become the richest man. Redemption of the soul is costly. It must be given up forever. You cannot do it of yourself. And tonight I'm telling you that the one simple way that you can receive forgiveness of sins and your soul can be redeemed and that you can be enjoy eternal life, it's simply in trusting Jesus. Come to him in repentance. Put your faith and trust in him, the one who is precious to God. May he be precious to each one here. The Apostle Peter in his second epistle, he speaks of like precious faith. Oh, I wish, desire that everyone here might have that same precious faith. Faith in Jesus. Faith in what he's done. Faith in God. Absolutely trusting in him for now and forever. May it be the part of everyone here. You might think about what's precious to you. And may you make that choice of deciding for Jesus. Forget all the things, other material things. Think about your eternal destination. Where are you going to spend eternity? Are you going to spend it with Jesus, one who is precious, one who loves you, one who has laid down his life for you, one who has made a way through for you, one who desires your blessing? May you choose for him tonight, for his name's sake. Amen.